All right, so we're back on Mystery Babylon. If you haven't been here, trust me, you have been missing it. That's all I could tell you. You need to go online and get the previous ones. We've been dealing based off Revelation chapter 17, talking about the woman riding upon the beast with the cup in her hand who has the blood of the saints, and on her forehead is written Mystery Babylon. And so last week we began to talk about the Nephilim, or as you would know them, the giants. Somebody say the giants. We talked about how Jesus defeated the giants. Amen? Did we learn a lot there? We learned that when Jesus died on the cross, he died on Golgotha, which is the place called the Skull. And the skull that was there was the head of Goliath that David chopped off. So when the Bible says that his head would be bruised by the seed of the woman, which was Jesus, that actually happened on that day where Jesus died on the cross on the head of the offspring of the serpent. And so if you were not here, I'll encourage you to get that message as we talk about the giants. We'll hit a few reviews. So if you can just go to our first slide here, we'll just have one slide to review. We talked about in Genesis chapter 6 how fallen angels mated with humans and human women and created the giants, okay? And then we found out that because angels were mating with human beings, they created hybrids that cannot be saved. Somebody say they can't be saved. This is why God said, my spirit will not strive with them. And he began to limit the amount of time that man lived. So this is why, because salvation was not made for angels. These offspring were half angel and half human. Now, some of y'all looking at me funny. That's because you weren't here. That's why it's important to come every Sunday. All right. Trust me, it's all in your Bible. We're going to look at some more stuff today. I just want you to hold on to your seatbelt, though, because we're going to look at some books other than the Bible. But before we do, I'll qualify them. Amen? All right. This is why the Bible says that all flesh, somebody say all flesh. All flesh was corrupted, and only Noah and his family had perfect genes. In your Bible, it says Noah was found most righteous or perfect in his generation, but it actually means he was found righteous in his genes. In other words, of the eight people that got on the ark, they were the only ones left whose genes had not been corrupted. Okay? And so God had to start the human race over with just those eight. God floods the earth to rid it of unnatural DNA. Unnatural DNA. Half man, half angel. And we'll find out there's some half other things as well. The giants died in the flood, but their spirits do not. And that's where we have demons today and why they're referred to as unclean spirits in the Bible. They were the disembodied spirits of the angels. Couldn't go to heaven, couldn't go to hell. You need to understand that demons have never seen the Lord. Demons have never seen the Lord because they didn't start in heaven. They were made on earth. Angels have seen the face of God. Have you ever noticed that scripture where it says, you believe, and it says, even the demons believe and tremble. You ever heard that scripture? Yes. Even the demons believe and tremble. The demons have to believe because they've never seen God. Let it settle for a second. They've never seen the Lord. The first time they saw him is when he showed up on the other side and that demoniac came out and said, Lord. They knew he was the Lord, but they've never seen him in his glory. The demon spirits, these are the demon spirits that look to possess a body again. So when we talk about demon possession, you're actually talking about the possession, not of people who died before, but of Nephilim spirits. Have you ever noticed that when people are demonically possessed, how strong they are? Right? Remember the sons of Sceva? One man overpowered seven of them because it was the spirit of a giant. That's why they were breaking chains, even the demoniac in the cave. Y'all with me? Am I in the Bible? Remember the demoniac in the cave? They said they would tie him with chains and he would break them all the time. Why are they so powerful? Because they came out of giants. It's quiet. Y'all looking at me crazy. That's all right. If you're a visitor, trust me, I'm not crazy, okay? I just read my Bible a lot. So it talks about the flood. There are numerous other accounts of the flood even non-Jewish and non-Christian. There are other accounts of the flood from other ancient sources. You can look them up, but you'll find a major worldwide flood in other non-Christian and non-Jewish accounts. So it's not only in the Bible, it's many other places as well. Okay? This event was worldwide and was recorded in other accounts. Okay? So we've read several scriptures that refer to the punishment of the angels that are already in captivity for this abomination of sleeping with the women of earth. Okay? So in Jude 5, we talked about this. Remember, it talks about how the angels were kept into captivity or brought into captivity as a result of sleeping with the angels from heaven. Amen? Jude 1:5. Someone's like, Pastor, I don't have that in my Bible. My Bible don't have that. You there? Jude 1:5? All right, let's read this. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in the similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after, what does it say there? Strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering a vengeance of eternal fire. So strange flesh is considered anything that is not normal in the Bible. It's called strange flesh. Going after anything that is not normal, okay? That's so when you see the Bible, because that's not the only place that it is, it talks about strange flesh. That's what it's always referring to. In verse 11, I want you in the same chapter, I want you to jump down to verse 11. It says, I want you to catch this. Woe to them. Right, because this whole passage, let me give you some context. Let me let you know this. Jude is Jesus' brother. All right? Jesus, do I have time to talk about this? All right. Jesus had three brothers and one sister. Three brothers and one sister. They were all older than him because Joseph was married before he was married to Mary. Joseph was a widower. His wife died of a disease. He was married. He was single for till he was 40, married for 49 years, which means he was 89 when he married Mary. Mary was actually dedicated to the temple like Samuel. She was raised in the temple, and the priest said, it is good for her to be married so we don't sin against her by not allowing her to have a husband. So they chose Joseph, who was also of a priestly order. Catch this. And so they put the two of them together. She lived in his house for about a year or so before they actually married or had any sex at all. He left her a virgin. So she was like 13. He was 89. Don't y'all get no ideas now. All right. Catch this. So Mary's kids were older than her. Two of them were actually already married. The only ones that lived in the house were James and Jude, the two who actually wrote books in the Bible. So they were raised in the house with Jesus. I was reading an interesting thing. It says that when Joseph died, he repented to Jesus for questioning how Mary got pregnant. Confessed him as his Lord and Savior. And repented for thinking about leaving him in Egypt. Oh man, I read my Bible a lot. I study a lot. And I found some very interesting things. But we'll stop there. So Jude, put it in context, Jude is Jesus' brother, and so he's writing this book because Jude and James, his brothers, they didn't even believe that he was the Lord, the Son of God, until after he died on the cross. They didn't walk with him. So he said, you know, now you say you can get one chapter, right? So he writes his one chapter, and guess what his whole chapter is about? His whole chapter is about apostates, people who were serving God and quit on him. right? And he could talk firsthand because he used to be one of them. He used to be one who didn't believe. So this whole passage, you know, we're just kind of picking up about those who were walking with the Lord or those who were saved and then quit on him. He's read this, what this whole passage is about. And so he talks, he jumps into verse 11. He talks about, he says, don't let anybody teach you about grace and tell you that because grace, you can do whatever you want to. You can sin however you want to. I want to remind you, he saved the people out of Egypt and destroyed them. He took the angels who sinned with the women of earth and put them in chains. He took the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them. Are you listening to me? Notice all those accounts are before the law of Moses. He's choosing those three accounts for a reason, saying it's not because of the law. There was, catch this, judgment under the era of grace. Are you catching me? That's why he's choosing those three. And then he says to them, going, jumped in verse 11, he says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of who? We did a whole teaching on Cain. Go online and catch it. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Verse number 14 says, jump down to verse 14. I'm skipping because I got a lot to go through today, all right? All right, and I'll encourage you to read the whole chapter. Verse 14, he's reading on. He says, now Enoch, read it with me. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Somebody say he did what? Prophesied about these men also. What men? These men who turn on God. These angels who turned on God. Catch this. And then he says, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all those who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, I want you to catch this. This passage says that Enoch prophesied previously. Past tense, he prophesied. But we have no record of him prophesying anywhere in Scripture. We have references to Enoch's acts, but they're all past tense, but the Bible does not record them. I want you to stay with me. The Bible does not record them. Who is Enoch? Put my slide up there. Enoch was the seventh from Adam in the line of Seth. When you remember when we did the genealogy from Adam, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He came after Seth. He was the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. Who's Methuselah? Which they say is the oldest man in the Bible, right? But he's not technically the oldest, right? So he's a prophet of God. And the interesting thing about Enoch is he never saw death. He was the very first rapture. He was caught away before Elijah was. Okay? He is a direct ancestor of Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm just kind of giving you the real Cliff Notes version of who Enoch was. All right? So he never saw death. So that means right now, Enoch is still alive. Should I say this? Okay. I will. In the history of Joseph, Jesus' father, this story is being told to the apostles on Mount Olive, on the Mount of Olives, okay? And in this account, they're talking about Jesus being Lord. And when Joseph died, Jesus talks about how he wept and cried over him, and his disciples asked him in this historical account, okay, this is not in the Bible, this is a historical account of Joseph. They asked him, why didn't you allow him to stay alive? Why didn't you raise him from the dead, Jesus? He was your father. And he says, I can't do whatever I want to do. I have to raise the people that God says for me to raise. I'm paraphrasing. In other words, I only can do what I see my father do. Interesting thing is, he says, in this history of Jesus, now I said it last Sunday before I had studied this. I just, you know, kind of used doctrine to talk about Enoch and Elijah being the prophets that come back. But in this account, y'all, it says that Jesus says to his disciples, I couldn't, raise him from the dead because he's not supposed to be alive at that time. The only one who's supposed to do it. They said, why don't you do like Enoch and Elijah? He said, because Enoch and Elijah are supposed to come back and deal with the Antichrist. It actually says it in the account. I was like, thank you, Jesus, for supporting what I said, all right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, be here every Sunday. All right, check this out. So we know who Enoch is. So Jude is Jesus' brother, actually has two passages in here that refer to past events not recorded anywhere in Scripture. The first one is in that same chapter. Remember where it talks about, find it on there for me. It's Jude chapter 1, but it talks about how Michael was fighting over the body of Moses. Right? Y'all read that in there? It says, Michael's fighting over the body of Moses, and then Michael says to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Catch that. Yet Michael, the archangel, is contending with the devil when disputed over the body of Moses, dared not bring him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord, what? Rebuke you. Okay? Now, how come we didn't read that in Exodus when Moses died? Why are we hearing about it in the New Testament? That was an Old Testament thing. I mean, Enoch lived in Genesis, but we don't have any records of his prophecies. Stay with me. So why is Jude recording two things in Scripture that are nowhere else in Scripture? At least when Peter and all the ones are talking about things in Scripture, they're referring to an Old Testament thing that we can go back and verify. But here we have two things written by Jesus's brother who lived in the house with Jesus, writing about two things that are nowhere else recorded in Scripture. This passage lets us know that not only was Enoch a prophet, but he was, I want you to pay attention, a messianic prophet. We never call him that. What is a messianic prophet? A prophet from old who knew that Jesus was the Son of God and would die on the cross. Because in that passage, when you go back to it, it says that the Lord is coming back with his saints. And he's going to judge the world for its sin and those that turned against him. Wait a minute. He's talking about the second coming of Christ, which lets us know we can trust Enoch because he had the secret of the Lord. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about yet? Just rock with me, all right? He's prophesying of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at this in Hebrews 11, verse number 5. Let's jump there. What is Hebrews 11 all about? Faith, right? The whole book is about faith. And matter of fact, it's about the patriarchs of faith. Hebrews is where we get faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? This is where we get, it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, verse 5 says, by what? Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased. How did he do it? By, you mean Enoch was a man of faith. We have an Old Testament, quote unquote, prophet who lived by faith. And now here's this testimony that he pleased God. But we don't know what he did because there's nowhere in the Scripture. But yet, the writer of Hebrews knows. The writer of Jude knows. Come on. The Bible records that Enoch was a prophet that pleased God. The Bible further records he's a man of faith that pleased God in the Old Testament. God was so pleased with him that he was the first man ever to be raptured by God and never see death. We always call all these other prophets the first messianic prophet. Enoch was the first messianic prophet. I know I'm messing with you, but I'm showing it to you in the Bible. What is Jude talking about? Jude quotes the book of Enoch. Since Enoch was the first messianic prophet, again, this means he had to have the secret of the Lord. He knew things that only Abraham knew before him. Amos 3 and 7. Put it up. Amos 3 and 7. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So if Enoch was a prophet, then Enoch had to have the secret of the Lord. He does nothing in the earth until he reveals it to his prophet. Psalms 25, verse number 14. Psalms 25, verse number 14. Just write it down. Read this with me. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God has secrets. He reveals those to him that to those that fear the Lord. And one of the main people that have special insight to what God is doing in a particular generation is the prophet. It is the office of the prophet. All right. Now, key point here, every true prophet has the secret of the Lord. This means Enoch has the secret. Now, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. God breathed, profitable for doctrine. Okay, yeah, there it is, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Read it one more time. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, here's the thing. How much scripture is given by God? Okay, so if Jude quoted the book of Enoch in the scripture, who told him to do it? I'm going to ask you again. If Jude was one of the inspired writers of the scripture and he quotes the book of Enoch, who told him to do it? Why would God do that unless he wanted us to look in the book of Enoch? Question for you. Does God want us to read other books? I know I'm messing with the old saints right now. Jose, the pastor, now watch it now. Does God want us to read other books? Can I say this? The Bible itself mentions various books that did not end up in the final collection of books, which were viewed as inspired by God. Put my slide up there for me. Let me help you out. Numbers 21:14. Talks about the book of the wars of the Lord. As I refer to these scriptures, just kind of put them up. 21:14, I want you to see it for yourself. Therefore, it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Waheb, Supha, the brooks of Arnon, right? So the Bible is referring to the book of the wars of the, come on, talk to me. Joshua 10:13, remember when Joshua stopped the sun in his battle. What does it say? So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people have revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? In other words, the Lord is saying, if you don't believe this, go check it out here. It's written in a non-biblical book. Historical. 2 Samuel 1:18 talks about, and he told them to teach the children of Judah, the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher. And then in 1 Kings 11:14, it talks about the book of the Acts of Solomon. Right? It talks about the books of the Acts of Solomon. If you go, oh, excuse me, 11:41, I'm sorry, verse 41. It says, in the books of the Acts of Solomon. Okay, you see that? Now, the rest of the Acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the Acts of Solomon? So everything we know about Solomon is not in the Bible. The rest of them are written in the books. I'm doing this for a reason because we're going to go somewhere. All right. 2 Chronicles 12:15. Just put the slide back up. It talks about the records of Shemaiah and the prophet of Iddo, the seer. 1 Corinthians 5:9. Paul, catch this. I want you to put this one up there. 1 Corinthians 5:9. It says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Now, I don't want you to focus on the sexually immoral people. That's not what we're talking about today. I want you to consider we're in 1 Corinthians, which is the first letter of the Corinthian church, but Paul is talking about a letter he wrote before. I want you to say it with me. He wrote a letter. So in other words, 1 Corinthians is a responsive letter. We don't have the first one. So in other words, 1 Corinthians is a reply email. We don't have the initial one. This is why it's so misinterpreted, because some things he's quoting from the first letter. And we think he's saying it. No, he's answering a question. Like when he says, you know, women should stay quiet in the church. He was replying to what they had asked, not telling them this is what you should do. Stay with me. Jude 1 and 9 that we just read about Michael rebuking Lucifer when trying to take the body of Moses, that is not in the scripture. That's from the Assumptions of Moses, a book called The Assumptions of Moses. And Jude 1 and 14 that we just read is from the book of Enoch. Have we proven that God may want us to look at other books outside the Bible, not for doctrine, but for historical reference? The book of Enoch was regular reading in the early church and in the home of Jesus Christ, which is why Jude knew both those books. God showed Enoch things concerning the angels in the heavens. Willis J. Beecher has a writing called an article on Chronicles. Chronicles alone mentions 25 extra biblical books. 25 in Chronicles alone. Key point, extra biblical books should undergird the Bible, not replace the Bible. Now, I'm not here to mess with your theology. I'm just here to preach the truth. I'm just, you know, so again, we get all of our doctrine from the Word of God. All the truth is from the Word of God. But there are other books that reference and undergird the Word of God. The first way that you know that you can trust that book is if they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, like Enoch did. If the Bible says, you know, he wasn't born of a virgin and he had sin in his life and he slept with other women, then you know you can go ahead and burn that one. Go and just throw it in the fireplace. It's good firewood. Can I really help you out? John 21, verse 25. Now here's John, the one whom Jesus loved, right? Read this with me. Write it down. I know I'm moving quick, so I just want you to write these down. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. What? This means we don't know everything Jesus did. This is what we could write. If we wrote down everything Jesus did, all the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. John is letting us know there are things about the Lord we don't know. Our God is limitless. He is infinite. He cannot fit in this room. He cannot fit in the world. He got the whole world in his hands. We learned that in Sunday school, right? God is too big for a book. But everything in the Bible is all God. Remember, he is the Word. The scripture says it this way. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying we can't trust the Bible? Of course you can trust the Bible. He is the living Word. What I'm saying to you is everything we need to know about God is in the Bible. This is why the Bible says we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing that you, your family, your friends, anyone will face that's not in the scripture. But I promise you, when we get to heaven, we are going to see and learn things that are beyond our comprehension. In other words, there are certain things that are not lawful for us to know right now. There are certain things that might give you an aneurysm if you knew that about God. Our brain cannot contain him. Our two eyes could not behold his beauty. And I think that this is why the angels that sit before his throne have eyes everywhere. Bible talks about how they got eyes on their feet and on their wings. They got eyes because it takes that many eyes to behold him. That's why the Bible says no man can see God and what? Because he's too great. He's too awesome. He's too beautiful. He's too bright. You need sunglasses for this sun. What happens when you behold the sun? The Bible says in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no sun. His face is going to light the whole world. This is why we have to shed this flesh to be able to look at him. That's why it says when we get there, we shall behold him, because you can't look at him now. So when your friend says, if God is real, why don't he show himself? Say, baby, you can't handle it. You can't even handle the truth. Come on. Key point, the Bible has everything that you need to know. Everything that you need to know. Catch this. This is why, remember when we were talking about the world before this one? We had to put those scriptures together. How come the Bible doesn't just talk about it? Because you don't need to know that. That's not salvific information. Does that make sense? You don't need to know that to be saved. Right? Now, some of y'all be like, I'm going to go read these books. Let me give you an encouragement as your pastor. If you're still learning how to forgive, not cuss, come on. If you're learning how to stop gossiping, stay out of the books of Enoch, Jasher, the wars of the Lord. You don't need to know that. That's not going to help you live holy today. That's not going to help you be a better father or mother or child. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let me stay in them books, and I'll come tell you about it till you get it together. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise right there. So the reason I'm going to this is because Enoch, he had the secret of the Lord. God was talking to him. So God does nothing in the earth unless he first reveals it to his prophet. So the question is, what was God doing in the earth that he used Enoch to do but didn't tell us? But said, I'm going to give you a hint and let's see if you go find it out. Let's go to the book of Enoch. They'll put it on the screen there. Enoch chapter 1. Enoch talks about the fall of the angels. It's the same thing that's in Genesis chapter 6. You tell me if it compares here. Enoch 6:1. And it came to pass when the children of the men had multiplied that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and lusted after them and said to one another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and beget us children. In other words, let's make babies with these women. Why? Because if Jesus is supposed to come from a virgin, let's get rid of all the virgins. All right, let's go to our next one. Next slide there. All right. And it says, I'm going to jump down to verse 6. And it says, and they were in all 200 who descended in the days of who? Who's Jared? Enoch's father. On the summit of Mount Hermon. So these angels came down on a mountain called Mount Hermon. Now, let's jump over to Greek mythology. When the supposed gods came down, what were they on? A mountain called Mount Olympus. Pay attention. On the Mount Hermon, and they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations. Imprecations means to call down a spell. In other words, they said, if you don't do your part and I don't do mine, we're all going to be cursed. So they bonded themselves by a curse. All right? And it says, and these are the names of the leaders. This one is naming the angels that came down. I'm going to just let you read them because we don't want to be conjuring no spirits in here. Amen. Notice one of them is Cocobel, right? Right? Notice a lot of them have the word El at the end of their name because El stands for God. These were fallen ones. All right, Sariel, right? Turel, Jamjael, Sariel. These are the chiefs of tens. In other words, there are 20 names there all together, and each of them rule 10, which means angels have a hierarchy. So 20 times 10 is 200. So there were 200 that went and did this. So now we know the number of angels underneath in chains because they left their abode. You with me? Y'all all right? You ain't lost your salvation? All right, okay. Let's go to another one here. Let's jump down. Enoch chapter 7, verse number 1. The act, here's what they did. And all the others together with them took up unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto them and defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms, what? Enchantments, and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. I wonder which plants they made them acquainted with. And they became what? Pregnant. And they bear these great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, which is an ancient term for very, very tall, up to like 30-something feet. Some of the giants were over 30-something feet, right? Who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against themselves and turned against them and devoured mankind. In other words, they were eating all their food, and when they ate all the food, they turned to start eating the people. Didn't we just read that in the Bible? Didn't we just read that in Joshua? Didn't we just read in Genesis chapter 6 that the men came, they saw the women and they thought they were beautiful and they began to sleep with them and create giants? So you mean Enoch is backing up what's in Noah? He don't stop there. We get a little more further. Maybe this is why the Lord told us to read it. Okay, catch it. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against themselves and devoured mankind, and they began to sin against the what? Birds and beasts and reptiles and fish? What? How do you sin against them? Is eating them a sin, or is sleeping with them? So you mean bestiality didn't come from humans. It was taught to us by fallen ones. And to devour one another's flesh and to do what? Drink. So is this why they do that in all pagan religions? I've been setting you up the whole time. And in verse 6, it says, then the earth laid an accusation against the lawless ones. In other words, now we know why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that all flesh was defiled. All flesh had sinned. And now you know why he said flood everything. We know the Bible says they sinned against men and women, but it says they corrupted all flesh. The book of Enoch specifies the animals. What does it look like when angels mate with animals? I believe that Greek mythology tried to tell us this too in its own corrupted way. Put the slide up. The centaur from Greek mythology. Are you with me? We just thought it was, you know, a fantasy. But it was loosely based on reality. Go to this next one here. Remember the Minotaur? There was strange flesh in the earth. Now this is theory, but based upon what we're reading in Scripture, they didn't just come up with this out of nowhere. Remember, Greek mythology is about gods, supposedly, that came down, slept with the women of earth, and created demigods like Hercules, right, Achilles, all these different great warriors in strength. The same thing that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, that they were men of great renown, great warriors of old, like Goliath, the seed of the serpent, which is why David cut his head off. David knew what he was. Because the book of Enoch, he was reading it too. So he knew, oh, I got one. Let me cut his head off and go put it on Calvary. So when Jesus dies, because David was a messianic prophet too. Come on, y'all. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known to take the head of the serpent and put it at Golgotha. So when Jesus died on the cross, he would bruise his heel and Jesus would bruise his head. He had to know. He was a prophet, so the secret of the Lord was with him too. What happens when an angel sleeps with a fish? You need to stop watching Ariel altogether. She's of the devil. But there are some accounts where they've supposedly, now this is theory, they supposedly caught mermen on camera. Show one of them. You know, now I can't. There's been some documentaries on Discovery Channel. Some of them have said, oh no, it's just fiction or whatever. All I'm saying is, why are they making this stuff up? Why does the Bible say that Jesus' name is greater than all names in heaven and earth? And I want to know why when Jesus cast the demons out of the demoniac, they went into the pigs and immediately the pigs ran and jumped in the water. I'm just saying. Let's jump to our next one. Can we go back to the book of Enoch? Because there's a little more information I want to share with you. I got a little more time. Read this. And it says, and Azazel, somebody say it with me, Azazel, taught men to make what? What was the first thing that Cain's line came up with? Weapons. And knives and shields and breastplates and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working with them. And bracelets, the metals of the earth. This is talking about like sulfur, carbon, things that humans could not have known at that time. Right? Metals, earth, and the art of working with them, and bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of eyelids. You mean they came up with makeup? It's not the devil. No, I'm just. No, put on makeup. Some of y'all would have real trouble with. You know I love you. And all kinds of costly stones. And all coloring of tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. And look what it says. And Semjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings. Amaros, the resolving of enchantments. Barachiel taught astrology. Kokabel, the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Arachiel, the signs of the earth. Shamsiel, the signs of the sun. Sariel, the course of the moon. And men perished. They cried, and their cry went up to heaven, the Bible says. Now, I've highlighted Azazel, because if you're here tonight, we'll talk about Azazel. Because you know him. He just has another name. Have you noticed, anybody watch X-Men? Remember the little red devil guy that would just disappear? And Am I right about it, Ben? Okay, make sure I got that's my X-Men expert there. X-Men theologian. But remember, what was his name? Azazel. Somebody Googling right now. Let me go check this on that. His name was Azazel. See, you got to start paying attention as to why these movie writers are going back and researching this stuff and putting it in the movie. That's not, they're not just haphazardly doing it. Remember when they did the movie on the terrible movie, as far as theology, I mean, it was entertaining, but the theology was really bad. In the one on Noah, I don't know what they came with the rock creature, but I think the rock creatures were supposed to represent the fallen ones. But who was the guy that was fighting against Noah? Tubal Cain. I mean, why did the Freemasons come up with a secret handshake called the Tubal Cain? Why his name? Swords and antimony, makeup, tinctures, Semjaza, enchantments. What is this? What is enchantments? This is spells, curses, and magic. What is root cuttings? Drugs. It's quiet. When you made him acquainted with plants, let me tell you what this little plant does real quick. Let me show you what these mushrooms do right here. Because when you're sleeping with somebody, you do anything they tell you to do. Right? Let me get you high. Let me take you to the spiritual land of Nod. Put you in a passive mind state and show you how to conjure up spirits. And you can call us back at any time. But we need you high. The resolving of enchantments. Now, we want to teach you how to cast a spell, and we want to teach you how to resolve it. You can take it off of them. It says astrology. You want to know where your zodiac and your horoscopes come from that you're still reading as a believer? Introducing your sign on Facebook. I'm a Gemini. What the? You're not a Gemini. You're not an Aries. You're not none of that. I'm a believer. I'm the called of the Lord. What's your sign? The blood. And I don't mean Peru either. I said the blood, not a blood, right? Knowledge of the clouds, signs of the earth. The signs of the earth is worship of earth and nature, which is why that's what witchcraft worships. Signs of the sun, this is sun worship. Course of the moon, this is moon worship. Catch this. This is what was called forbidden knowledge. This is the first thing that Lucifer offered Eve in the garden. Eat this so you will know both good and evil, and you will be like God. Which means he convinced her that what she had wasn't good enough, that God was somehow holding out on her. And this is the basis for all paganism and false religions, is illumination from knowledge that God is holding out on you. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say forbidden knowledge? Can I preach in these last 3 or 4 minutes? We're going to run through a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. There's a man named Paul. He talks about this vision, Jace. He talks about this vision where he didn't remember whether he was in his body or it was out of his body. He says, I was caught up into the third heavens. Y'all remember that, Pastor? I was caught up into the third heavens, which was paradise. Right? And look at what he says. I was caught up into the third heaven. And then he says in verse number 3, And I know such a man, talking about himself in third party, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. Verse 4, how I was caught up into paradise. So we know that Jesus is in paradise. So Jesus, his throne is in the third heavens. Remember he was sitting next to the man on the cross? He says, Lord, don't forget me when you go into your kingdom. He says, this day you will be with me in paradise. So he was in the throne room of God. And look at what it says. And I heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to. In other words, there were things being talked about in the throne room that we down here are not allowed to know. And if I were to write down what I heard, I would be in violation by giving you unlawful knowledge. Oh, let me keep going. There are things in the spirit realm that do not belong here right now. Otherwise, he would have wrote them in the book. This ain't the only place that this is. Revelation chapter 10, verse number 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. This is John the Revelator, right? He's talking about what he sees in the vision, and cried with a loud voice. Read this with me. And as when a lion roars, and when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Revelation tells us a lot, but there was something that angel said and spoke over the earth that God does not want us to know right now. There are certain things that do not belong in the earth realm. Oh, can I tell you about Hitler? Remember Hitler, go study him out. And you find out that he was an occultist. He was in contact with a group of so-called aliens that told him he was the pure race, and the Jews, of all the races on earth, the Jews needed to be eradicated. I wonder what aliens he was talking to. And why did they choose the Jews? This same group are the ones that gave him and his scientists how to make certain weapons of mass destruction. Go and read the history. His wickedness, check this, his wickedness he got and his strategies came from another realm. And when they were done with him, they had him kill himself. We already know which angel he had to be talking to. The one that's over war. Isn't there a god of war in most Greek mythology? Can I keep going? Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4. Just put it on the screen. Just write it down. But you, Daniel, shut up the words. Seal the book. Remember, Daniel had this great vision. But he said, seal the words. Seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In other words, I don't want them to know this. I'm telling you, Daniel, but you can't reveal all of it. Somebody say unlawful knowledge. There are certain revelations and wisdom. It's released in certain seasons. Even biblical insight increases because the knowledge of God and the anointing is increasing. Jesus had other things to teach his disciples, but remember, he told them, you cannot bear them now. My Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes. He says, who's going to teach us? The Holy Spirit. God reveals his secrets in times and seasons to those who qualify for them. You know what your children can handle. If they get a hold of the wrong TV show or the wrong movie beforehand, what happens to your child? They get corrupted because they got something that is not for their season or their age. So you can't let them watch anything and everything. If they get a hold of a porno too early, well, really at any time, but you know. If they get hold of the wrong show, if they sit in front of a show that's all about witchcraft, guess what they're going to be thinking about? So you have a job as their parent to guard what knowledge they have. You have a job to catch who they're hanging out with. And because when your child come home and say something wrong, you're like, who told you that? That's the same thing God asked Adam and Eve. Who told you you was naked? Who told you that? Where'd you learn that from? Who you been hanging with? We are his children. Not that he's holding out on us. He wants you to know at a certain time. Because if you knew what you knew now at 12, you would be in jail. Y'all would have had a baby at 4. Daniel 2, 27. Let me just give you the scripture here because we laying this stuff out. Daniel 2, 27. Then we're going to go to Isaiah 8 and 19. Catch this. 2 and 27 says, the secret thing which the king has demanded. The wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. Remember, they were asking Daniel to interpret the dream? And all the wise men around him couldn't do it? And look what it says in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. God can tell you things the psychic and the palm reader can't. Do you want to talk to someone who consults the stars or the one who made them? Genesis 40 and verse 8 says, interpretations belong to God. We shouldn't have nobody. You don't go to the fair or to the you know, whatever they have, the little events they have around town. Oh, let me read your hand. Oh, let me look at your hand. No. We don't do that. Anyone who consults a medium, a soothsayer, magicians is an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 8 and 19. I want you to write this down. Look at this one. And it says, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, do an incantation. If they tell you to go to them, should not people seek their God? Oh, you're not reading with me. I want my people to come to me. Why are you going to psychics and having people mixing blood. I want him to fall in love with me. Bring me a strand of his hair. Can't you trust me for a man? If you go to a psychic to get a man, you end up with a devil. Read this part with me. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? In other words, why would people who are alive consult familiar spirits to get wisdom about their life and they dead? Living people should consult a living God. So I'm not looking to the heavens and to my horoscopes. I'm not waiting for the newspaper to come out about my future. My future is already written in the word. Your future is already written in the word. And at the end of the book, it says you win. It says you're more than a conqueror. You don't need to go to astrology books. See, mom is a prophet. She's here talking about strategies and wisdom and counsel for this next season to get land and houses and all these different types of things, because God wants to move wealth into the hands of the believers. But there is supernatural wisdom for supernatural people. His ways are higher than our ways. He's not holding out on us. He wants us to go up to where he is to get them, not go to the graveyard, not go to tarot cards, not go to things that men made, because you may be conjuring up Simjaza or Cocobell. You're like, who is that? That's them ones that came down. Some of us have Nephilim visiting us in the form of your grandma. Well, what was in the corner of my room when I was a child? A big bunny rabbit? Ooh, that is my grandma. A demon can always tell you about your past. He does that every day. He does that every day. You're a sinner. Remember where you came from. You can't do that. He's a professional at telling your past. You don't even have to conjure him up for him to remind you of what you used to be. Are you listening to me? I got enough people telling me about my past. And watch out for these false prophets. Can I spend about 2 seconds on? Watch out for these false prophets that search your Facebook page. Because there's a new game going on right now. Can I tell you what the game is? The game is, if you come into the church, you find the pastor on Facebook. Then all the members are friends with the pastor on Facebook. Let me help you out. Then if they find you on Facebook, if I see, Jerome Bayless, all right, let me check him out. And now he's venting about his life on Facebook, telling about everything that happened in his life. Stop telling your doggone business on Facebook. Then when I come here, then I say, is there a Jerome? The Lord said, you just lost your job. And you're about to get a new one. Oh my God, how could he know that? How could he know the address? It's on Instagram, dum-dum. Let me awake my people from the spell real quick. We're not bringing in no shysters up in here. Come on now. Went somewhere the other day. Let me be quiet. I see you cutting ribbons. It's on Facebook. Jesus don't have to spell out your name. Jesus just tell you, your name is Christina, and God's going to do the miraculous with you. And here's why. God, he don't have to do spooky stuff. We don't need to worry about psychics. We need to talk about the psychics in the church, the witch in the church. The Lord didn't tell nobody your social security number. That's a breach of confidentiality. Jesus would not tell a prophet to tell your social security number out loud to everybody. because somebody need credit. But it's time out for God's people being amazed by spooky stuff that happened in the church and be rooted in the word of God. That my future is secure in him. I don't need to go to the psychic. I don't need to go to my friend. I don't need to go to the gossip line. I don't need to watch Dr. Phil. I don't need to watch Oprah, who don't worship my God either. Matter of fact, mocks my God and says there's another way. Why are we going to them from wisdom? Why are we bringing their principles into our home for our marriage and they ain't married? Come on now. The Bible I read says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him and he shall direct my path. Give the Lord a hand praise. I'm out of time. Hallelujah. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. His word is true. And the just shall live by faith. He don't give you all the details because you wouldn't have to believe him. We trust him. We're trying to get all these other assurances before we step out. Sometimes he says launch into the deep, even though it don't make no sense. This is why we don't go to psychics now. Now tell me, am I going to get the job or am I not going to get the job? No, no. The Lord says, listen, I want you to believe me. I want you to speak those things that be not as though they were. I want you, the reason I'm not telling you where to get the job, because I'm trying to teach you how to be a king, and kings write decrees. I want you to speak those things that be not as though they were. I want you to learn. This is why he don't give you all the details, because he wants you to learn how to speak it into existence. Don't ask me what you're getting. Tell me what's happening. Tell me what you want. You don't need to go seek. Listen, we need the office of the prophet, but we need to stop running after prophecies. Because the Bible says the spirit of prophecy is on everyone who has the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can prophesy to yourself. I decree I'm the healed of the Lord. I declare I have the mind of Christ. I declare I have fresh wisdom and strategies and counsel and direction for my life. Everything else is unlawful. This is why the Bible says anything not done in faith is sin. Anytime I'm trying to find a way to get some assurance, okay, let me find out behind the scenes what's going on first. I'm not trusting him. I'm saying, Lord, you're too small for this. Let me get some secular help. I'm not sure you really know, Lord. So let me find out over here. Do you know he don't even want you to go to the doctor before him? Read your Bible. It says, why do you consult physicians before me? He don't want you, catch this, to go see no counselor before his word? Old folks used to sing a song, have you tried Jesus? Have you tried my Jesus? Have you really tried him? It's time for God's people to actually believe God.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.